It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 18, and we're going to begin reading today with the first verse of that chapter. And so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, the church number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're going to begin reading Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is great, is fallen, the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. We're going to end with that verse. We may get a little further today, but probably not. Let's go ahead and begin with prayer as we enjoy doing. Father, we just thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. And it's not going to be a joyful time upon this earth in any way or form, shape or form, because there's so much evil, and the evil just continues to build and build and build. And Father, we can see it today. The crimes are more heinous than before, and the thought of man and his mind is just becoming more and more evil and more corrupt. The only way to turn this around is that they would be saved, come to know you as their Savior. We know that the evil ones that are ruling here during the time of Revelation will not turn to you. They've refused to. And many folks today have refused to turn to you and follow after you. So I just ask, dear Lord, that today you will bless this study, and you'll guide and lead this study, and you'll just turn the light on to folks that they will be able to see and to understand, dear Father, what's coming. That they'll see what's coming. It's an evil time. No one has to go through that time because the church is raptured before this begins. So please, dear Lord, just touch every heart. stir those that are saved, that they'll begin to proclaim the word so clearly and boldly, and please touch the hearts of the lost, that they will find the truth and salvation. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at this verse, beginning with verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. The earth was lightened with his glory. The light shone from the angel as he ascends to earth from heaven. No matter who this angel may be, it is God, the righteous judge, who is the head of the judgment of Babylon. Many believe this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The same is in Revelation 8:3 and 10:1. And if we would go back and read those verses, I think we need to today. Just turn back with me to Revelation 8, verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And now if we move to 10, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his feet was as it were the sun, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire. Once again, back to Revelation 18:1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. It may be the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin with verse 2 now. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Whoever this may have been, again, God the righteous judge is the head of this judgment. And the proclamation was brought forward, Babylon the great is fallen. The way this is stated is as if it's already happened. Many times through the scripture, we'll find those same ways and terms, because our God, when he speaks it, even though it could be 1,000 years or 5,000 years later, it's just as if it's already happened, because it will take place. Babylon the great is fallen. In the last chapter, we saw the beast, this civil authority, this power, for a time allowed the woman to be his master. She sat upon the beast in pride. All admired her. Only the saved saw through this lie. Same way today. There are so many folks today that are being deceived by so many of these liberal churches and these mega churches. And it's so sad. It's hard for me to imagine that none are saved. I'm sure some of them are. But why are they deceived? They're being deceived. We should belong to a local church, a small local church, body of believers. The mega church is a place of much activity. The money's there, the numbers are there, and so it becomes a social outing, and you're taken in by it. I understand that, I suppose. But where's your wisdom? The wisdom of God's going to tell you otherwise. And I just ask that you ask God for his direction. Stop going so much on your feeling and go on the power and the strength and the wisdom of God. This city has become the habitation of devils, of demons. We don't know necessarily who they are. We only know that the city is inhabited by creatures from the underworld, from the pit. Once again, I'm going to read verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now the third verse, we just kind of keep building here. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You see why I'm saying that these mega churches bring in mega dollars. And they have all kinds of activities. But the one thing that's went by the wayside is the simple, clear preaching of the Word of God. And I'm going back to the King James. Have never left it, never going to. If you want the power of God, stay with the Word of God. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All nations went under her spell. The people of the earth will eagerly drink of the cup. They'll believe and follow the lies. Oh, we see that today. We're not in the tribulation period, but I believe we're building to it. And folks are so easily duped and deceived. They've left the truth. They've left those beautiful old hymns that have power to them. And they've went to the beat of the drum and the great music and the entertainment that's a part of the church today. The religious system of that day will be captivated by her beauty, her services, her wealth. They'll just be taken in. They will be totally ignorant of the truth, the Word of God. Again, have we not seen that today? They will believe the lie. We need to go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you have been deceived and duped, please awaken today to the truth and get back into the service of the Lord and the power of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 7 down through the 12th verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now lets will let, until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And you say, oh, the truth is there. My dear friend, it's not. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Now, this is not believers here, my dear friend. This is lost people, people that have not come by faith to Jesus. I don't know what the excuse of the saved are today. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, let's look at today's religions. They're built upon works, and they're growing very rapidly. The works, the deeds, the money, while the true blood-bought religion of Calvary moves slowly. You don't hear me use that word religion very often, but we do need to be faithful to His Word. And the simple message of salvation, and go home and preach that and teach that to your family. Stop being involved with these social gospels that are preached today. Stop getting your ears tickled. Stop with that your foot has to be beaten before it ever touches your heart. That should tell you right there's a problem. But only if you're saved will you know that. And again, I don't understand. I really don't understand. Unless more people are lost than I think. Oh, I'd hate to think that some of the folks I've known for years that have been duped into these things today, that they are not saved. But what else is their excuse? What we read here in 2 Thessalonians talking about lost people. If you're saved, what's your excuse? Preach the cross, His precious blood. Preach on our sins. When that's done, the numbers add very slowly. You bring a social gospel in, and you bring the bands in, and the rock music in, and I said, no, it's not rock, it's Christian music. It's not. I'd question your salvation. You need to start there. Because if you've been deceived by this, and you enjoy it, and you have no conviction against it, are you saved? Are you saved? See, you got no right to question my salvation. I have every right. And the because we're to examine a believer by their works. And I see what you're involved in. And it's not of God. It continues here and says, the kings of the earth commit fornication with her. This is not to be confused with the 10 kings in the 17th chapter, verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. These 10 kings listen and have a heart for the beast only. The kings of the earth love her, have bought into all that she has, bought into the wealth, bought into the beauty, bought into the activities. Get to heaven by just sitting here, and don't change, come as you are. If you come as you are, you're going to go as you're going to leave just like you came. And if you're not changed, and the word, of course, if it's not preached, well, then there's not going to be much change. But I ask again, are you saved? Get to heaven, just work a little bit, pay a little bit, and maybe you'll make it. Well, it's no maybe at all. You won't make it. She becomes the intercessor between God and man, because the false apostate church exalts her to a height of spiritual dictatorship. The king and great men of the earth flock to her, and just the poor, just to pour everything out to her. You're willing to do anything and give everything. And so as we look now at these groups, we have the first group is the people of the earth will eagerly drink of this cup. The second group are the kings of the earth fall down to her. Now, the third group is the merchants of the earth. Now, let's just go back to this third verse. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Now the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The delicacies are a wantonness and an arrogant luxury is the definition of delicacies. You know, that sounds like some of the leaders of our country, doesn't it? They have so much money and they have lied and cheated to us so much that they act more like kings than servants. This group follows the apostate, the false system, and they do it for one reason, and that's for gain. You know, that's the only thing a cult has to offer, that if you do this, then you'll get this. And many times that old devil, he's able to perform that, so he can fill your pocket. But I guarantee you, when you die, when I do a funeral, there's nothing in that casket that goes with you. And if it is, it just goes in the ground and rots. I sure hope that you're enjoying this life. Because if you've rejected the Lord Jesus, you have no hope of the life to come. Oh, you'll have a life to come, but it'll be in the lake of fire. If you join a given church, and what you get out of that given church is rubbing elbows with the right kind of people, it's a great business move, be a great political move. It's not a good business move, nor is it a good political move to stand for the Word of God. All three groups will weep and wail because of the loss, not because of their sin. Because of the loss. Again, Babylon, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. It's going to be a sad day. In verse 4 and 5, it tells us, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people." She is leading, and she is deceiving, and she's taking people right to hell with her. And it seems as though they've already started today. But the call comes here is, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Angels descends from heaven, and a voice is heard in heaven. That's the first verse and the fourth verse. In the closing day, there will be saved in the middle of all this mess. They've somewhat joined them. Maybe to avoid persecution. Maybe to avoid being martyred. They've kind of joined and merged in with them. But the call comes is to make a clean break or else face the plague that's coming. And that fifth verse says, hath remembered her iniquities. The sins are many, heaped up, reached all the way to heaven. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, they said, let us build a city. And that, of course, is the Tower of Babel. If they could reach God another way, there's only one way to reach God the Father, and that's through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the only way. It's not through any works. It's not through feeling good. It is facing your sin. The Holy Spirit convicts your heart, faces your sin, and you come by faith to Jesus. And so the call in the fourth verse is, come out from them. Come out from this cult. Come out from this false religion. So come out. You know, in Noah's day, there was no rain until he entered into the ark and God closed the door. In Lot's day, there was no fire until Lot and his two daughters were out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They must make a clean, a complete break if they are to escape the plagues that will be poured out upon the systems that are there. One day, that eighth verse says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She shall be utterly burned with fire, that eighth verse says. A way to say it is, have no fellowship with her. For if you continue, you will share in these plagues. You will share in her destruction. Judgment will not come upon Babylon until every person who has trusted in Christ is out. This great whore, this great religion, has butchered and tormented for 3.5 years the saints of God. For that, all the destruction that she has caused since the Tower of Babel, she will pay double for. And the sixth verse tells us that. Her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity, verse 5. Verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Double, double. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Who is she? Where'd she come from? Who gave her the power? Those are some pretty good questions, aren't they? Do you remember what we've learned? This woman is not Rome alone, but it's a system. And that system has her seat and home in Rome. For what she has done, she will pay double. Double. You don't have to go through this time. You don't have to be deceived anymore. My dear friend, come to Jesus. So now what are you going to do about Jesus?